Welcome to the Finance Marketing Podcast, a show that empowers finance professionals to market their businesses in ways that feel good and actually achieve results. I'm your host, Hillary. I've been working with folks in financial services to develop marketing strategies that work and create results-oriented marketing content since 2020. And I've learned a lot about what works in finance marketing, what doesn't work, and where financial services pros get stuck. Join us each Friday as we explore real, effective ways to market your finance business and connect with folks who truly embody your ideal clients. My guest today, Tiffany Sattler, is a LinkedIn ghostwriter and growth strategist who helps thought leaders establish and maintain their brands using human-first strategies. Now, Tiffany is not actually a financial professional like most of my other guests on this podcast, but as a LinkedIn marketing expert, she has so much great insight for financial professionals who take advantage of LinkedIn as a main component of their marketing arsenal. Tiffany runs workshops and speaks on a range of LinkedIn-focused topics, in addition to providing one-to-one consulting and done-for-you services. Now, during this conversation, Tiffany drops a lot of great nuggets of wisdom. She and I talk about the community building opportunities on LinkedIn, which I think is just so insightful because anyone who is using LinkedIn in their marketing absolutely has to learn that LinkedIn is not a place where you want to simply be posting your thoughts and then logging off. LinkedIn is a place where conversations happen and relationships are built. She also shares her thoughts on different content strategies and posting schedules on LinkedIn, which are understandably different depending on what your goals are for using the platform. And finally, she gives detailed advice and suggestions for how to optimize your LinkedIn profile so that it makes a really strong first impression on anyone who clicks over to it. So if you use LinkedIn or are planning to use LinkedIn in your marketing strategy, you do not want to miss this episode. So let's jump in. Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me on the Finance Marketing Podcast. I'm so excited to have you today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so I would love to start if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do in the wild west of LinkedIn.
Yeah, so I'm a LinkedIn ghostwriter and growth strategist. So I help thought leaders with everything from high-level strategy down to the actual implementation. My three main services are one-to-one consulting, which can cover all of the things, LinkedIn profile revamp, so whether we're creating the profile from scratch or we're doing kind of a punch-up because it needs updated. And then the last service that I do, and it's a very limited one, is ghostwriting, which is writing for people on LinkedIn at large. So it can be their content, it can be their profile, it can be their newsletter, all of the things. So it's like the one-stop shop.
Okay, great. And how did you get into doing this kind of work on LinkedIn? I know that you have kind of a story where you fell into LinkedIn and you almost fell in love with LinkedIn. And I would love to know, like, what caused you to fall in love with LinkedIn?
Yeah. So falling in love with LinkedIn was one of the best things that could happen to me. It's also where I put my foot in my mouth, I would say. So I initially was doing copywriting, SEO copywriting, website copywriting, emails were my main things. And I was like, I would rather eat glass than do social media. I hate social media. Fun fact, every time I've said I'd rather eat glass than do something, I have eaten the glass and I hate it. So I'm usually wrong. But in this specific thing, I'm very glad that I was wrong. So how it happened was I had a client who is a professional dungeon master for corporate teams. So D&D as the game, but being run for team building experiences. And this client is in a very niche space, right? You have the super nerdy Dungeons and Dragons, but he had also gone through like the landmark training for like leadership, team building, like actually having training in like coursework in that realm. So he was like straddling D&D while rubbing elbows with executives, communicating the value in that and team building, that kind of organizational leadership space. So it's a very unique space. And I had been doing other types of copy work for him. And he had told me that he wanted to build his presence on LinkedIn. And I was like, yeah, like that totally makes sense. That's exactly where your clients are at. But he was really struggling. He was trying to DIY it. It didn't really work. He had someone try to take a stab at it. It wasn't really working out. And he was just kind of at wit's end. And he was like, will you please help with this? I don't really know what else to do. And I was like, ooh, you know, I can give it a shot because I love you. I love what you're doing. I love your mission. Like, I see it with you. Yes. Like, I will do my absolute best to give this a try. Let's take a stab at it. And it took off. It absolutely blew up. And it's so cool because I had worked with him for a few years. And those little, the vision, the mission, everything in the beginning where he's like, here's a wild idea, right? And he tells me about it. I remember being on a call with him a few months ago. And he was telling me, you know, something that's going on with his company right now. And I was like, you know, 2 years ago, you pitched that idea to me and we both were like, that would be so freaking cool. But like, it's just so far out there. We can't even imagine. And you are literally doing it right now. And he was like, phew. So in all of that process, he was my why to step into the realm and take a stab at it. And in doing that, I fell in love with the community, that you can build and you can curate, because there are beautiful, vibrant pockets of community. The D&D community, for example, is one of them. Unashamed plug here. There is a Dungeons and Dragons community on LinkedIn. You can search for the group. It is amazing. I highly recommend it. Someone actually posted a week ago. I just looked at it again. Someone posted a week ago and they're like, you know, why did you join? Like, what are you getting out of this? And I literally just read someone who wrote, look, I'm involved in a lot of D&D communities on Facebook and other social media platforms, and none have been as supportive and like kind and encouraging as this community. And that's literally, I mean, yes, that's that group to a T, absolutely. But by and large, when I work with clients, we've found that that is the community that they end up building. They end up attracting those people. They are like that themselves. And I even had one client where we started and she was like, all I see are like marketing bros and like, you know, buttoned up suit, old white men. And I don't really want that in my feed. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, those people exist here. Absolutely. Like, of course. But that doesn't have to be your feed and that doesn't have to be your community. And I think it really took saying that for her to realize like, oh, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Cause I can unfollow people because I can connect with other people because I can follow other people. And I'm like, if you build it, they will come. So if you want to build a vibrant, exciting, supportive, encouraging community, you can. That's the freedom of this platform. And it's beautiful. I will say, compared to other social media platforms, something that really made me not want to do any copy work for them was this idea of like, there are trolls. Ew, no one wants that. I don't really see trolls on LinkedIn. Not really. You know, you'll get the person who puts in their self-righteous explanation once in a while. Okay. And by and large, they either get ignored or they get attacked by other trolls, right? Like there's two things happen. That's it. And it handles itself. But I was really worried about that. And that's not really on LinkedIn. I really think that the professionalism on LinkedIn applies in all aspects. So yeah, you have your professionalism and your first impression on your profile, and it extends to who you are and how you behave and how you're treating people, because you don't want to ruin your image on LinkedIn. You can go there to get a job. You go there for business networking. You're not going to be walking into a networking event with holy pants and, you know, flipping the bird to everyone, right? Like that's just not how you, that's not professional. That is not the expectation. And I think people rise to the expectation on LinkedIn compared to some of the other platforms that are considerably more casual. The second reason why I didn't really want to do social media was because it is a grind. It's a constant grind. You're feeding the LinkedIn machine like you are on Instagram or Facebook. That's kind of the feel. That's the fear of having to shell out content all the time. But the reality is you don't have to. That initial client I mentioned who does D&D, he wanted to move into thought leadership. So we did. He posts 3 times a week because with thought leadership, less is more. And we can unpack that in a minute. But the reality is you're not shelling out 5 posts a day, right? Like you need to stay relevant on some of the other platforms. So between having a beautiful sense of community and less drain has made LinkedIn continue to be attractive for me and my business as my business continued moving forward. And at that point, in the conversations I was having with people, kind of enlightening them, pushing back against their held beliefs, kind of the myths of LinkedIn that people will assume based off of experiences with other social media platforms, it really lit me up to move into just LinkedIn full time and unpack what it could be for others.
I'd love to ask you this really broad question, but then break it down into smaller kind of chunks, if you will. So I would love to ask you, like, what are the pieces that need to go into somebody's presence on LinkedIn for them to get what they want out of the platform? And I know for a lot of my listeners are using LinkedIn to develop and build thought leadership. A lot of them are using it to connect with their ideal clients. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are also using it to build centers of influence and kind of connect with other professionals who are serving the same clients that they want to be serving. So I would love to start by asking you this smaller question that we kind of touched on already, because so many people wonder, how many times should I be posting on LinkedIn a week or a day or whatever it is? And then once we talk about that a little bit, I'd love to migrate towards the profile itself. But what do you think about that question, and how do you answer that question?
Yeah, so that's a great question. How many times should I be posting per week? And my answer, which is everyone's going to hate, is it depends. So the first thing that I look at with clients is how are you going to be using the platform? If you want to use it for thought leadership, less is often more. And there's a few reasons around that, like as to why. But I would recommend 1 to 3 times being more of a longer piece, whether it's a longer video or like a longer post, so that there's really some depth to it, some nuggets of knowledge in there. If you are trying to hit lead gen really hard, if you are gearing up for a launch, that I believe warrants more frequent posts. So maybe you are posting every day, but I wouldn't recommend posting more than once a day, because then your posts end up competing with each other. And what we've seen in recent changes, the biggest change in the platform algorithm as of last September, is that the life of posts are lasting longer. So when before it would get most of its, like a post being it, would get most of its attention within the first 24 hours, you're actually seeing it be spread out across 3 days. So again, if you're only posting 3 times a week and it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're giving time for that post to breathe and be seen. So less is more, truly.
That makes sense. And I've actually seen that, I think, on my own feed. I'm seeing posts that were posted 2-3 days prior, sometimes even a week prior. I often get comments on posts that I posted the week prior. And so, yeah, I've absolutely seen that play out. So I love how you're differentiating, like, if your goal is thought leadership, less is more. If your goal is lead gen, post every day is kind of more of your recommendation. So it is important to be really clear on your goals for LinkedIn, is kind of what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, being very clear with your goals is the most important piece. So if you're, I will say, like, add a caveat, if you're looking for that lead gen, just posting content and that's it is not going to be enough. It doesn't matter if you post once a week or 7 days a week. That's not enough. It needs to be coupled with other strategies. But you're building a base of your content, especially if you're starting out And that can be very helpful when you're gauging what people are latching on to, what is resonating, really speaking to different aspects to further your connection with others.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit into the profile, because I know this is one of the signature things that you offer profile revamps. So what to you are the most important pieces of a LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, so the most important piece is going to be the first impression. It's what people often will call the hero section, or it's the above the scroll. So when they land on your page, whether they're on a desktop or mobile or whatever, it's whatever they see. That's going to be your banner. That's going to be your picture. That's usually going to encompass your headline, the like contact info or buttons. That varies depending on if you have premium or not, and your business and or your school. It may go a little bit farther than that depending on how large the screen is. So that's going to be your very high impact piece. So that's where I recommend putting your banner, a professional profile picture, a high impact headline that should be optimized for other reasons, but your headline in all of its entirety is going to be there, and having a company page so that your logo actually shows up in that company section. Those are going to be really important things.
This is kind of tangential because I want to stay focused on the profile for a minute, but do you also recommend posting on the company page, or do you recommend just having it so that you can list your business and look professional?
Ooh, this is such a good question. I have so many thoughts on this. At minimum, if you're starting out, you feel overwhelmed, you have all of the things to do with your LinkedIn profile, simply getting the page up, like as a shell, it has the picture, it has all the basic content, even if it's copy and paste from your profile, getting it up and existing is important. And then when you have the opportunity to go back and actually refine it a little bit differently, I do recommend optimizing that page and starting to put out content. So there are features that that you can have in a company page that people often don't have or may not even know that they could have. For example, you can have a featured section on your company page. You can only have up to 3 things in that featured section, and they have to be posts. So if you're not posting on your company page, you can't put anything in the featured section, right? So I would highly recommend making posting part of your company page, daily tasks, because it is important, but it's not going to be the most important if you're trying to prioritize how to get the most impact out of your overall LinkedIn presence.
Because is it true that your personal profile, you'll get more reach on posts from your personal profile than posts from your company page? Is that true?
That is what has been seen when it comes to a breakdown of what's featured in the feed. A very low percent is company pages. I mean, we're talking like 1-2%. Very low compared to what it used to be.
Wow.
Before the latest algorithm report, shout out to Richard Vandeblom, who conducted in partnership with Authored Up a LinkedIn algorithm report that is 123 pages, very in-depth, full of insights on the latest major change that was really disrupting on LinkedIn that happened in September. They gathered data and he posted it in February. So highly, highly recommend checking that out for anyone wondering stats, you know, data nerds, things like that, to really figure out what's going on at this point.
Yeah, I'll link to that in the show notes. Amazing. That sounds like a great resource. Yeah. So to go back to the idea of your profile being optimized and having these different pieces, can we break down a little bit in a little bit more depth each piece? So I'd love to talk about any general recommendations or tips you have for the banner, or general recommendations or tips you have for the headline. Let's start with the banner. If someone is creating a LinkedIn banner from scratch, what should they include?
Oh man, this is so good. When I think about this, I think about some advice I heard about like YouTube thumbnails. And the idea is keeping it a bit simple. So you only have like 3 major pieces in it. The things I look at, it depends on the client, to be honest with you. And it depends on the route they want to take. Sometimes they're featuring their unique value proposition. Sometimes they want to feature a product that they're, you know, their low ticket, you know, ebook or something like that. Sometimes they want to focus on an event and sell tickets for it. So it really depends. Banners can change and it depends on what your purpose is. I like to more often than not use a picture of them. It needs to be on the right hand side so it's not blocked out by the profile picture, because that's just how it appears. And it really needs to be in brand colors. And that might sound like a duh, so bear with me, but having it be on brand is going to give you that really polished picture of yourself to others, like really make that stand out first impression. What I recommend that you don't do is to waste the space simply with your name and your title. That's a mistake that I see often, is people are like, I don't really know what to do. So they hop on Canva, they use a free pretty template, and they just put that, and you're wasting a lot of real estate. They already know your name. It's already on your profile right there. They know what you do. It should be somewhere in your headline. So do something else. What difference do you make? Or, you know, who do you serve? Who do you help? How do you help them? Give a little bit more meat to it.
Yeah, those are really, really great tips. So what about the headline? And I would love to hear you maybe start with some mistakes that you see people make with their headlines.
This is such a good question. Sorry, I'm thinking through this. A mistake that I will see as it relates to headlines is that people are using an emoji in their name and not their headline. So if you use an emoji in your name, you can actually get your account restricted or not deactivated, but and not banned, but like put in LinkedIn jail. It can actually get you in trouble because it's a violation of user agreement. So if you have emojis, if you have a branded emoji that you want to be known for, put it in your headline. That's the place for it. And so I'll often see that mistake, or I'll see the mistake of people using. It's one thing to have an emoji. E-readers are usually pretty good about recognizing an emoji, but I'll see people use the special fonts to have some kind of bold or italics or like those weird Scrabble words. My God, I hate those. Just please don't do them. But if you do, it's best not to, because e-readers can't read them. And there are examples online. You can go hear what it sounds like to someone, but it makes your headline inaccessible to people who need to use e-readers. And it's not just like, oh, they're blind, so they're using an e-reader. A lot of people use e-readers. People who are dyslexic, for example, will use them as support. It is a major accessibility issue when you're using special fonts in your headline, and that will hurt your image. So there are other ways to stand out. So focusing more on what you're saying rather than the visual aspect of it. Emojis are okay, but all of these special characters, not so much. So that's a really big mistake that I've seen a lot more often. To make it optimized, consider keywords. Keywords, just like SEO. What is someone searching? When they pop into Google, what are they typing in? LinkedIn search has like an SEO, it operates like that. So when your ideal clients are searching, ideally for you, what are they actually typing in? What kind of subject matter are they typing in? What kind of title are they typing in? And make sure you include those somewhere in your headline. I usually like to put them in the middle or even at the end. I don't usually lead with them, but at the end of the day, it needs to be somewhere in there. I will say this. The first 40 characters of your headline is what people will see. So look at your current headline, count 40 characters. I know it's copious, bear with me, but that is a snippet that people will see when you're making a comment, for example. And that is what's going to make them decide to go to your profile or not, besides obviously the quality and content of your comment. But that should be intriguing. It should, what John Asperian says, like, that is your stock cube. That is like the punch, right? That's going to be diffused with everything else. And you want that to be powerful.
Mm-hmm. So what about the profile picture? Any tips there or mistakes that you've seen?
I recommend two things. One, make sure it's a professional picture, not like you at the bar. That's a thing. The second thing is do something with that will stand out. There's a few ways you can do that, but something that'll make you stand out. Maybe it's the color of the outfit you're wearing that really pops, or maybe your background is in branded colors. But if you are wearing a black suit and you have a white background, that's very plain and it's not going to stand out among the feed or among the comments. You want something to really pop. I don't recommend it being a full body picture. Unless you're wearing just like a flamboyant pink dress or something, you know, that's really going to stand out, because you want them to be able to see your face, to know you. Like, it humanizes you. You're not just like, you know, a model standing there in the picture. So a bust picture with something standing out is going to work the best.
And how important is the about section on your LinkedIn page?
It actually is more important now than it was before. So if you turned on creator mode, and if you know what I'm talking about, you'll follow this. If you don't worry about it, because you're going to be grandfathered, like, looped into this. But when you turn on creator mode, what it did was it put your featured up first, and then it put your about section lower. So it deprioritized that about section. So if you had kind of a crappy liner, it wasn't too big of a deal. But since the changes, that's being reversed again. Users want to see the about section. They want to learn about people. So the about section is being reprioritized. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay. Know your about section is going to be up at the top. And that hook in your about section, those first few lines before they hit see more, is very important again. You want to make sure that it's eye-catching. Eye-catching, not in like a weird buzzwordy way. Again, not using the little like weird fonts that are inaccessible to e-readers. Eye-catching in the sense that they can read those lines and it's very clear who you are, who you serve, and what you do in a way that makes them want to hit see more, learn more about you, learn more about how you can help them.
So what recommendations do you have for the featured post section? Like, what kind of posts work best as featured posts? Should it be like your best performing posts or like core content about you? What do you see people doing?
Yeah. So I see a lot of people featuring posts, and oftentimes it's because they don't know what else to do. So they put a high performing post there, which isn't bad, but that should be your last option. What I recommend, six things in a hierarchy, depending on what you have right now or what you feel open to creating. So the first one to the far left should be your primary call to action. So that's often like, book a call with me, see my demo, book a demo, purchase this product. Oftentimes it's a call. The second one, you don't want a lot of different calls to action on this page. You want it to be very consistent. But if you're consistently saying book a call, book a call, book a call, and you happen to have a low ticket offer or an email opt-in, for example, you can also have that opt-in or that low ticket offer be there. This is a good place to add that in, but really low key. A third thing I recommend is doing some kind of intro video so that people can get to know you. It humanizes your brand. So quick 30 seconds, say a bit about who you are, who you serve, why you're doing it. Have some flavor in there, right? Something about your differentiator in there that makes it memorable, not standing there, you know, super professional, renting out a studio with... If that's your brand, that's your brand, do that. But 9 times out of 10, that's not. And it feels stuffy. And we want to develop that human connection because that's what's going to warm that lead. That's what's going to make them want to reach out. That's what's going to start conversation. So 30-second intro video, a bit about yourself, some fun flavor, that's a differentiator. Another piece that I'd recommend is social proof in some form. So social proof is things like testimonials, things that leads can see where they're like, oh, this person knows their shit. This person is beloved by all these people. They must be good at what they do, or they must be really smart, or they must be able to help me because these 10 people who are going through the same situation have gone through some kind of transformation with them, right? So social proof of some kind. Mm-hmm. And this can look like a few things. This can be a document that you upload that ends up being a testimonial slider. You'll have something like that on your websites. It could be a single one, your best one that's beautifully designed in Canva and you upload it as an image. It could be a video. So if you are into doing video testimonials with your clients so they can verbally share their experiences, having a video like that that's 1 to 2 minutes is also wonderful in humanizing your brand. So those are my top options.
Mm, I love that. Now, another kind of hot question that people ask all the time is free LinkedIn or premium LinkedIn? Is premium worth it?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a hot question. So again, I think it depends very much on how you're using LinkedIn and what you want to do with it. There are some benefits to having premium. Something that most people will find useful is the fact that on free LinkedIn, you have a hyperlink that can go to like a website or something. But on premium, you actually get a button. So that's really cool to have a button. This button not only exists on your profile, where it's like book a call, for example, but it's also there when you're in the DMs. It just kind of is a little drop down of like a reminder, book a call real quick. It's also in the comments. Mm-hmm. So, or on your post, I'm sorry. It's on your post. So that's been very helpful to get your primary CTA out there. Another cool thing that premium allows you to do is those recommendations that are hiding on the very bottom of your page can actually be put up higher, like into your featured section. So there are some cool, snazzy things that they're rolling out with premium. And I think they're going to continue to invest in that paid product because it's growing their bottom line. And at the end of the day, LinkedIn is a business, right? So they are continuing to roll out features like that. If features like having additional in-mails would be helpful, if having more recommendations put higher in your profile in your featured section, where it has like their picture and looks like the formal recommendation. This isn't like a Canva looking thing that I recommended before. If having those kind of pieces on there are something that interests you, then I recommend checking it out. As far as premium goes, there are a lot of different tiers, and that's why I recommend checking out what makes the most sense for you. The business tier is $60 a month. And if you, well, I'll leave it at that. $60 a month for business. There's some that are more and less expensive, but for business purposes.
Okay. Well, one thing that I think we have to talk about is you can't just post and ghost on LinkedIn, right? Can you break down what that means? Because a lot of people use that phrase, don't post and ghost. What does that mean and why should people not do that?
Yeah, so people should absolutely not post and ghost. And what that means is people should not either pop in there and copy and paste a post over and then close the tab or schedule a post so that it automatically posts and you're busy getting your nails done or you're at the zoo or whatever that looks like. It is best to be present when you make a post. And that's because when you're present, you're in the feed and you're commenting, it's going to kind of prime LinkedIn. LinkedIn is aware that you are on. And if it shows your content to other people and they respond, you're going to be there to respond back because LinkedIn wants to be an active platform. So posting and ghosting is going to get your content sent to the graveyard. LinkedIn's not really going to show it to a lot of people because you're not on to engage with it.
Well, Tiffany, any other tips or nuggets of wisdom you want to talk about in terms of LinkedIn before we wrap up?
Let me think through this for a second.
Yeah, take your time.
I have one thought, and it touches on a few things that we've mentioned before, but really brings them together, starting with really identifying what is your purpose on LinkedIn. So Are you actually leveraging it for business purposes? Do you just notice that your profile is getting looked at a lot more, and maybe you're in a position of leadership and you just feel like it needs to have its shit together? And so it needs to just look like a pretty landing page, but you don't plan on being active. Figure out what the purpose is of having your profile. Is it worth having some kind of other strategies, engagement strategies and content strategies looped in, or is it just a standalone landing page? If you decide that it's worth being more active to do lead gen or something like that, remember that it's not just about content alone. With that singular mindset around content, if you start posting and ghosting, your stuff's going to go nowhere. It's not just about content. It's about engagement. Engage in your feed, engage with other people, talk to other people. Doing that is what's going to get you known. It's going to get you followers. It's going to get you leads. Simply posting and not engaging with other people is going to go nowhere. And frankly, it's a waste of your time to simply do that. So remember that LinkedIn, what is your purpose? If it's to grow your presence on LinkedIn, you have to engage in addition to content. Biggest tip.
I think that's such an important one, and I'm so glad that you brought it up. I really do think when I look at LinkedIn and the way that the algorithm seems to operate, it's 50-50, right? It's not 70% you post, 30% you comment on other people's posts. It really is 50-50. LinkedIn really rewards people who are engaging on its platform. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. I think that's a really great space to kind of end on. This has been such a great conversation, Tiffany. I have learned so much from this conversation, which I really, really appreciate. Where can people find you if they are curious to learn more?
Yeah, the best place to find me is, of course, LinkedIn. Feel free to follow me. I post every week, try to get about 4 posts a week out that are very high value content, very educational based. You can pop into my DMs. Feel free to shoot me a connection request if you would like to connect further and chat through things. That's the best place.
Awesome. Well, Tiffany, thank you again so much. I'll link to your profile in the show notes. And thank you to all of our listeners who joined us this week on the Finance Marketing Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Finance Marketing Podcast. If you're eager to market your business in a way that feels good and actually gets results, sign up for the Finance Marketing Podcast newsletter in the show notes so you never miss another episode. If you liked what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite listening app and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you back here next Friday.